Just briefly introduce Pastor Brock to you. Jordan would probably do a better job than I would. Pastor Brock is a gentleman who has served with the AFLC. He's currently not serving a church. He'll tell you a little bit more about his ministry as he goes along. But as the deacons and I, as we were praying about our spiritual life meetings, Pastor Tom's story came to mind. And it came to mind because as he's going to share with you, it was a story that was originally personal, but then by unforeseen circumstances, it became very, very public. And just hearing his struggle, hearing what he has gone through, I think we're all going to be able to relate to it. Now, as you look at the title in your bulletin, you might say, well, I don't struggle with that. And that's okay, because that's not going to be the primary focus of our meetings throughout this week. But he's going to share with us his struggle, because in that way, he will then be able to relate with us how he deals with that struggle and how you and I can deal with our struggle as we deal with our own temptations in our day-to-day life. And again, so we thank you for being with us, Pastor Tom, and we'll let you share with us your story here. And here's the clicker.
Well, I'm happy to be with you this morning, and I drove here from Minneapolis yesterday, and I'm serious about this. I got out of Minneapolis about 3 hours. Everybody was so friendly. And you'd stop at a rest stop or the Super America, people would look you in the eye and say, hello. I'm serious. It was different. It was all the way through northern Minnesota and North Dakota. It was like that. So I'm glad to be here. I'm going to be with you for the next 3 days till Wednesday night. And here's what I thought of. Here's what I thought we should do for the next 3 days. Paul the Apostle is thinking about these Christians in Rome that he's never met. And here's what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 11. I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So we're going to meet together now, and then the hour after this, and then tonight, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. And our goal is that we'll strengthen each other in the Christian faith. Hopefully I'll strengthen you, you'll strengthen me, we'll strengthen each other, and that's our goal. And here's what the topics are. Right now, we're going to talk about homosexuality. Right after this service at the Adult Bible Hour, it's your Bible questions, please. And we just want to have lots of questions that you come with in an hour that you've always wanted to ask. I've been a pastor for many years. You know the most common question I think I've been asked through the years? Is Grandma in heaven now, or is she waiting till Judgment Day to be raised from the dead? We're going to tackle that. So come with your questions. Then tonight we're talking about overcoming temptation. Then tomorrow night we're talking about encouragement is crucial in the Christian life. Tuesday night is on accountability, that we're not going to get over our sins unless we're accountable. And then Wednesday night is the topic I know the very most about, false teaching in the church. And you'll hear a little bit about that now. But let's jump into the topic on homosexuality today. How many of you happened to see Diane Sawyer interview Bruce Jenner this week on TV? Good. It was an hour of the most biased journalism you would ever want to watch. You know, if you have a controversial issue like transgenderism, you get both sides. Not on that hour. In fact, last year, Bruce Jenner and Diane Sawyer were on the stage receiving the GLAAD Excellence in Journalism Award put out by the Gay Lesbian Advocacy. I mean, there's on this subject of homosexuality, you will find no objectivity in the media. Hollywood is not our friend. Ellen is not our friend. The View is not. In fact, I made The View. They put my face up on The View 7 years ago, and Whoopi talked about what a hypocrite I am. So I'll tell you the story. And, you know, here's the deal. I can understand the media and the society being messed up on this issue and promoting falsehood. I understand that. You know when it's really evil? Is when it's coming from bishops in the church. In fact, I have a TV show, so people send me things. Renville, Minnesota, a lady sent me this. Her Lutheran pastor, ELCA Lutheran pastor, got in the pulpit and gave his coming out sermon. Here we go. I'm just going to quote a paragraph. "I am gay!" Exclamation point. "In this journey, it's been amazing to see the grace of God at work. One such example is in having someone special in my life. His name is Dennis. Actually, it's the Reverend Dennis. I was trying to find a partner for a friend of mine, and amazingly, I'm the one who received a partner. The only thing wrong with Dennis is that he is not a Lutheran. I've come to see these differences as amazing displays of God's creativity. We have a God who happens to love diversity, etc. Can you imagine coming to church and Pastor Kent giving his sermon on how God has given him a male lover? That's what she got when she went to church that day. I'm going to give you the opposite point of view. I have struggled with same-sex attraction most of my life, and my response is, so what? It's still wrong. The Bible is still the Bible. I gave this talk, or similar talk, to a Presbyterian church in Florida, conservative church. But some people got upset with me, and some grandma, but my grandson's a homosexual. Or some, my son's a homosexual. And I said, I try to be polite, so what? Because your grandson is doing it doesn't make it right. So what I want to do is tell you my story, and then we'll close with some common questions people have about homosexuality. Let's pray one more time. Father in heaven, we live in a day of deception. It seems like our whole culture, with gay marriage now, and every time we turn on the TV, we're getting propaganda. Lord, we pray if anybody here has been duped, that you will lead them to your truth on this issue. If there's anyone here this morning who is not turning from their sin and trusting Jesus for forgiveness, that they will do that today. And Lord, we ask you now to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how do I put the picture on the screen here? There we go. Let's go back to 1955. There's cute little me on my dad's lap on the left. There's my dad. He was a football coach at that point, became the manager of a racetrack in Omaha. He died when he was 53 of a brain tumor. There's my sister Ruth Ann. She died at age 32 from lupus. Sitting down is my sister Sharon. She left the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America because it was too conservative for her. And now she's joined the very liberal United Church of Christ Congregational Church. Pray for her. We have difficult discussions. Sitting on my mom's lap is my naughty little brother, Mark. I just saw him in Denver last week, and I don't know that he goes to church. Pray for Mark. There's my mom. She lived to be age 83. And my dad was a great guy, but a workaholic. And just did not invest emotionally much in our family. No abuse or anything, but just kind of was so busy, I almost didn't have a dad in some ways. And I think that kind of set up a problem for me. My brother Mark does not have this problem, to my knowledge. I'm pretty sure he doesn't. He's got problems with fornication, I think. But so let me just tell you the story. So I'm raised in this family, and when people say, I knew I was a homosexual when I was 5 years old, maybe, I have trouble believing that, because I didn't know what normal sex was till I was 11. I didn't know what homosexuality was when I was 12 years old. But when I was 12 years old, my friend Scott Fryer is supposed to meet me in downtown Omaha. We're going to go to a movie. Well, Scott doesn't show up, so I go in by myself. I sit down, and I'm guessing this guy was in his early 20s, comes in, he sits down next to me, and after a while he puts his hand on my knee, and I didn't know what this was. And I thought, well, maybe he doesn't realize his hand fell over and it's on my knee. And then slowly he starts making his way up my leg. And when he got up to about here, I was just white as a ghost. I got scared. I went into the bathroom and was going to come down and sit somewhere else. Well, he followed me in the bathroom. And I'm standing there, and he said, I didn't scare you in there, did I? He said, scared? I'm not scared. Why do you think I'm scared? I was petrified. And he tried to make, and I got out of there. And so that could have ended a lot worse. But I got out of there. But then Sharon comes to pick me up from the bus stop. And she sees I am white as a ghost. And she said, what happened, Tommy? And I told her, and she laughed. And she said, well, don't tell anybody about that, because those guys only go after boys who they think really want it. I thought, I didn't even know what it was. But it kind of put a lie into me. When I was about 8 years old, I discovered my dad's pornography. Boxes of pornography hidden, not very well, in the garage. That kind of messed me up. And then I go to college. And in college is when I kind of discovered I've got a problem with same-sex attraction. For me, that it wasn't clear until I was in college. And so I went to the campus counselor, you know, their counseling clinic, and got horrible advice from them. Just, well, explore this and et cetera. And it just really was bad advice for me. Now, by the grace of God, I've never had sex with anybody, female or male, but pornography has been an issue. And you know, I was, you know, you always hear that if you're a boy and you have this problem, it's because your mother was overbearing. I don't know that that's the issue. A Christian psychologist said he has counseled men who have this issue like hundreds of times. And he said, if you're a male with this issue, it's because early in life you did not have a good relationship with dad. It's not that you can't have, you know, maybe when you're 12, but when you're real young, he said, I've never met one client who, when he was real little, had a good relationship with dad. And the same is true for lesbian women with the mother. So, I've been celibate my whole life. Don't let people tell you can't be, it's impossible not to have sex. Christians have been doing it for 2,000 years. We just live in a sex-drenched culture. So, and now I'm going to tell you the story that made me famous. Worst month of my life, or year of my life. I'm a Lutheran, but I've gone to this Catholic group called Courage for men who struggle with same-sex attraction. And I've gone to this group for years. And we, you know, we just hold each other accountable. We pray and, you know, et cetera. Well, maybe it's 8 years ago now. This guy leaves the homosexual lifestyle and joins our group. Catholic guy. And he's very talkative and just talks. And he joins our group. And then after about a year, he goes back into the homosexual lifestyle. And then we hear he's going to groups telling people what a horrible group Courage is. And then and I'm getting nervous because I'm a pastor over a church in Minneapolis, and is he going to start spreading this all over the place? Well, what he did was he went to the homosexual magazine in Minneapolis called Lavender and said that Pastor Brock, because I have a TV show and I preach against homosexuality and abortion and everything else, and so he told the reporter at Lavender, if you can sneak into the group and catch him in the group. So what they did was they put an undercover reporter who went to the priest of the Courage group I was part of, pretended he needed help with this issue, and he joined our group. And then he wrote an article about me that was from hell. I mean, I'm a sinner. I'm going to talk to you about my sin, but I've never done what the article said I did. I was on the front page of this homosexual magazine in Minneapolis, and because what the reporter did was so unethical journalistically, my story went all over the country, and I had to call my family and tell them about my struggle, which I had never done. Worst month of my life. Anybody 7 years ago remember all this in the press? Well, they put, good. But yeah, that's when they put my face on the screen on The View, and Whoopi called me a hypocrite, and Joy said snide things about me. But it was misery. And but I'll tell you how God prepares things. About 9 months or a year before all this happened, I got a phone call from a lady who said she watches our TV show. And Pastor Brock, can I come talk to you? I think I've got a word from the Lord. And so she came in, and a sweet older woman, health problems, kind of crippled up. But she said, when I was watching you preach, the word came to me, this man will suffer for his faith. This man will be attacked for his faith. And we thought that was maybe a physical attack. Some of the men of our church started packing guns. We just didn't know what that meant, if it meant anything, because not every word from the Lord is a word from the Lord. And then 9 months later or so, this thing happened. And so all this happened. It was a mess. It was all over the place. And I forgot to tell you one thing. Before this article was written, gay marriage is going to be debated at the state capitol. And they're going to have people pro and con. I was asked to come and give the con. I didn't want to go. I'm so vocal on this issue. Let some other pastor to go. Couldn't find anybody that would say yes. So I went. And when I stepped into the Senate chamber, who was sitting there with his boyfriend, but this vocal guy from my Courage group. And as I stood there, and I'm thinking, okay, with him, and he was so volatile, I wondered if he was going to stand up and start screaming when I gave my spiel. And I thought of that verse from Esther. Well, I'm going to do this, and if I die, I die. So I made my testimony, sat down, and that's when all this stuff happened. But I'm still glad I did it, and I do it again. Because of the way, Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. And so I just trusted that verse that God, I hate, I'm not a very emotional person, but I started praying a prayer I've never prayed in my life during that month. Lord, help me not lose my mind. I was getting phone calls, and it was awful. And I'll tell you the other thing, how the Lord sometimes helps, often helps, always helps. I'm going through this ordeal, and I have a dream. And in the dream, I heard the words, hands are controlling this, as in God's hands. And I saw Romans 8, I don't know if you know the Minneapolis Star Tribune newspaper, one of the most liberal, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual newspapers in the country. Because all this happened, and the Lavender magazine reporter got to put an editorial in the Star Tribune about me, I got to respond. And I said, yes, I do have this struggle, but 1 Corinthians 6 says homosexuals don't go to heaven, so I don't go that route. They wouldn't have printed that unless they had to as a response. So God started to kick in Romans 8:28, and I will tell you, I was so tempted at that point just to leave the Christian ministry, move to Florida, and do nothing for the rest of my life. Very tempted. And I had a second dream. And in this dream, I had done that. I left cold, liberal Minnesota, moved to Florida, moved into my new place in Florida, and had absolutely nothing to do. And I heard a voice say, do your calling. And I woke up. That's why I'm here this morning and not in Florida, because I think God wants me to be vocal about this issue because you never hear our point of view in the media anymore. And you know, I'll tell you the other Romans 8:28 thing. Before this all happened, I had a local TV show in Minneapolis. Now, we're all over the country. If you get DirecTV or Dish Network, tomorrow at 5:30 in the afternoon, you can see our show. Or we're even now on Bismarck TV right now, actually, 9 o'clock. So, God can bring good out of evil. If you're going through a rough spot, cling to Romans 8:28 and trust that God promises somehow to turn this into my good. Well, one more thing on this, and then we'll answer some questions. So I'm being interviewed by a liberal radio talk show host, and he says to me, Pastor Brock, why don't you just go with this as who you are? And I said to him, well, I'm glad I didn't go with this. The people that went with this are dead. I mean, I'm 63 years old. Back in the 70s and 80s, the young men that went with this, they're dead. And homosexuals, male and female, die quicker still than the rest of the populace. So, you know, when grandmas are trying to say, well, but my grandson's a homosexual. Well, then lovingly tell him, stay away from that behavior. It hurts you in this life and in the next. You're not being loving to your grandchild to tell him that it's okay to have gay sex. You're hurting him. I remember an old Lutheran preacher saying, we are nicing people right into hell. I had a Lutheran pastor from Wisconsin call me, and he said, I have a 19-year-old young man that has he just left his lover, and now he's single again, and can I bring him to talk to you? And so he brought and we all three sat in my living room, and I just urged him, now turn away from this. God will forgive you, he'll love you, but this is not the way God wants you to go. And you know, again, if you would have told me, and if you go to our website, pastorstudy.org, we've done about 4 shows on this issue. If you would have told me just 8 years ago that I would go on national TV and talk about my struggle with same-sex attraction, I'd be saying, what are you drinking? But the way God turns things around. So there's my story. Let's ask some questions now. Does someone ever totally get over same-sex attraction? I met a woman who was in lesbianism for years, and Christian woman, she said she doesn't even get tempted toward women anymore. So it can happen. I asked, if you go to our website, I did a whole show with the Catholic priest that runs the Courage Group, of which I'm a part, and I asked him on TV, do people ever get over these attractions in life? And he said, it's been his experience, most don't. Most still have these temptations. And so, you know, you may get over the attraction, you may not, but really that doesn't matter. We're not promised freedom from temptation in this life. You know, it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Temptation isn't a sin, acting on it is. So for some people, yes. For some people, no. Another question. Is it genetic? Are people born this way? The American Psychological Association is very liberal on this issue, but even they admit there's never been a genetic link found to homosexuality. My guess is that it's a very early in life thing. It's an environmental thing. But let's say, and they haven't, contrary to Oprah and what other people might say on TV, they haven't found a gay gene. But let's say they do. It changes nothing. Because as Christians, we believe in something called original sin. We're all born with sin. You don't become a sinner at age 8. You're born with sin. That's why we just baptized this baby. That baby was born with sin from Adam and Eve. Read Romans 5, and we get our sins washed off through Christ. So if they there was some study that seemed to show you inherit criminal tendencies. Well, does that mean I can rob a bank then? You know. So my point is, even if they discover it's genetic, which I doubt they will, it doesn't change anything. It's still wrong. It doesn't give you a license to practice it. We're all born in sin. Next question. My lesbian niece has invited me to her gay wedding. Should I go? I went to a good evangelical church a while ago. The pastor got up and preached on that, and he said, yes. In between services, I went up to him. He didn't know me. I said, I'm a pastor from Minneapolis. This is Florida. And I said, I have this struggle. I wouldn't go to that lesbian niece's wedding. It'd be saying to her that I think this is a wedding. It's not a wedding in God's sight. And if you believe 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, that practicing homosexuals won't go to heaven, do you really want to push her in that direction? I'd lovingly say, sorry, I can't go because I don't believe in this. This is not what God wants for you. So to me, the answer to that is no. You got to be loving and humble, but you don't support it. Where does the Bible say homosexuality is wrong? There's about 9 clear places. Leviticus 18 and 20, the very clearest places in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1. You've got 1 Timothy chapter 1. You've got the book of Jude, talk about Sodom and Gomorrah going after strange flesh. Every time the Bible mentions homosexuality, it's negative. There's not one positive reference to it in the Bible. Should someone with same-sex attraction get married? Some do and some don't. And I know a guy who's older than me, and he's married. He's been married most of his life, and it helps him to have a wife. Other men struggle, and they don't have a wife, or, you know, same with women. So I don't think there's an easy answer to that. You pray and you do what you think the Lord calls you to do. What should I say or do if my child says, I'm gay? You love them, you support them, but you never tell them that that behavior is okay. Never. And that's, again, that's why it bugs me so much when pastors get in the pulpit and say, I'm going to start doing gay marriages now because loving, committed homosexual relationships are fine with God. My response is, find that in the Bible. They're hurting. They think they're helping people. They're hurting people for eternity. I mean, I've got a couple minutes. So, the Presbyterian Church USA is about to bite the bullet on the gay issue, and I'm asked to come to their convention. They're going to vote on whether they're going to allow for practicing homosexual pastors. So I'm standing at the microphone. The woman pastor standing in front of me gets to the microphone. I did a lesbian service this summer. Oh, the Holy Spirit was so present. You need to let me do these lesbian weddings, or we'll hurt people if you don't let me do this. I was right next. I said, I have struggled with same-sex attraction most of my life. It's a sin. 1 Corinthians 6 says, homosexuals, fornicators, idolaters won't go to heaven. You'll hurt people if you let pastors do this. And sadly, the Presbyterian Church USA went the way of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They're now ordaining practicing homosexuals and doing gay weddings. Love your child, but never tell him or her that it's okay. I'll skip that one for maybe later. I think you are bigoted and hateful. You know what I've learned? We just got one of the, because of my TV show, somebody sent that I'm a bigot and I'm hate-filled. I had a 30-second promo for our TV show in which I disagreed with abortion and homosexuality. I did it politely, and I got such an angry letter. You know, I've learned no matter how loving and humbly you take a stand against abortion or homosexuality, in some people's book, you're still a hate-filled bigot. Why? Because they just want to shut you up and make you scared to talk. They don't want to hear what they're doing is wrong, so they will call you a hate-filled bigot. You live with it. My pastor marries homosexual couples. He studied the Bible, and he says it's okay. This is where the fox is in the hen house. We have clergy and bishops now promoting transgenderism, everything else. The ELCA now has transgender pastors. You know what? You know the how many you all know what the ELCA is, the Evangelical Lutheran. It's the very liberal branch of Lutheranism. Praise God you're not part of it. The ELCA pays for abortions with offering dollars in the pastor's health care plan. You know what they decided to do last year? They're going to pay for sex change operations with offering dollars in the ELCA health care plan. So just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you know the Bible. Where can I get help for this problem? Here's the end. Just Google Restored Hope Network. There's groups all over the country where you get into a small group or a support group and helps you out of this stuff. Or you can go to our website. I've got TV shows there, and I've got an article on all the Bible verses on homosexuality. There you go. Well, let me just close with this. A woman became a Christian. And the lady at work says, well, what's the difference now between you and me now that you're a Christian? And she said, one letter. You love the world. I love the Word. If you love the Word, you will be hated by those who love the world. But Jesus said, it would be thus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tom.
Yep.
Can I ask you to address one last question?
Sure.
Before you sit down? And this is one that comes to mind, and it's one I've heard many times, and I just want to hear your take on it.
Okay.
See how it agrees with how I've answered this. Now, you've shared with us that you've had this temptation for most of your life. Mm-hmm. So when people ask you, they say, Pastor Tom, are you gay?
Good. I'm glad you asked
that. Will you please answer that?
The answer is no. And you know what? This is going to sound weird. Nobody is gay. You have same-sex attraction. Even the most militant homosexual activist, God did not make him to have sex with a man. And plus, you know, the verse, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. So you know what I am? I am a heterosexual male. That's the way God the Father made me. That's the way Jesus has redeemed me. That's the way the Holy Spirit is sanctifying me. I am a heterosexual male who struggles with same-sex attraction. Am I gay? Absolutely not. I reject that false, demonic lie of who I am. All of us have been told lies by the devil. Remember when Jesus was being tempted in the devil? If you're the Son of God, Jesus, well, he is the Son of God. And you're born again, blood-washed, forgiven children of God. What Satan's job is to get you to doubt who you are in Christ. And so, no, I'm not.
Yeah. No, that's good. And one of the thoughts that I had related to it, and I share with people, you know, because obviously most of, you know, just speaking for the guys here, we are heterosexual men, right? We are attracted to women. Now, if I ask the guys, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but have you ever been attracted to somebody other than your wife? I think most would have to acknowledge yes, but you haven't acted on it. Now, if I ask you, because you may have had that temptation at some point in your life, are you an adulterer? Well, you might be an adulterer at heart, because Jesus tells us that if we lust after somebody in our heart, we're guilty of adultery. But we don't class ourselves as adulterers because we have not acted upon that temptation. I think that's very similar to what you're describing.
Right.
And kind of the same thing. You know, you have that temptation, you haven't acted on it, therefore you are not gay. But just an interesting thought, and I think it's one important to address considering what our culture promotes. If you have that temptation, you are gay. And I've always believed that to be wrong as well. But thank you for sharing with us. And again, we'll just invite you back for the Sunday school hour. If you have questions related to that you want to ask, you can feel free. Or as he said, any other Bible questions we'll be addressing during the Sunday school hour.